Welcome to our worship service this morning. It is good to see such a good crowd here with us this morning. I hope we've all had a good week, and I know it's always a blessing when we can get together and worship together. I do have a few things I'd like to make a note of here in the bulletin. You know what?
What?
Did I jump the gun?
You're good.
No.
Yeah.
I may have jumped the gun. I didn't even wait for the slides this morning. I just jumped right up. I had to ask. Maybe we need to start over. Start fresh. All right, no slides this morning. Okay, so we keep going. I do have a few things I want to point out from the bulletin tonight. As most of you know, we do have our baptismal service at the Coker Pool. That's at 6 o'clock. And make a special note there, if you look down about midways, for those who are being baptized, just a reminder for you, Dr. Walls will need to meet with you in the chapel immediately following this morning's service. So if you are planning to be baptized this afternoon, Dr. Walls needs to meet with you immediately after this morning's service. Also, Wednesday night, make a note there that will be no Bible study Wednesday night. Does that include youth? No service? Okay. No services of any kind Wednesday night, but as we know, Thursday starts our annual conference. And the conference actually starts at 2 o'clock that Thursday. But that morning, the WMS women will be meeting at 9 o'clock here at the church. I believe that starts registration. And the Cartwright men will be meeting at the Compass at 10 o'clock for our meeting. But the conference itself will start at 2 o'clock that afternoon. And hopefully we can make plans to attend that. I believe that's all I wanted to highlight this morning. Were there any other announcements this morning from the congregation? Youth committee meeting, yes, absolutely. This afternoon at 4:30, we have a youth committee meeting. And again, for all those who are part of that, please make plans to attend this afternoon. Any other announcements this morning from the congregation?
We were proud of our Turbyville youth yesterday.
Yes.
They won all of the competitions and conference meeting at camp. So, yeah.
We'll give them a round of applause, yeah. Very proud of our youth, and what Ms. Gladys was saying, if you didn't hear that yesterday at Camp S&M, that the competitions they had, that all the Pastor, you go ahead and share. I'll let you share.
Give a shout out to the winners. I'm gonna mess up here. Where's Allison and Ann Grace? Where are y'all? I'll stand up. They finished first and second in the scripture search yesterday, so give them a round of applause. Now, Chase and Annabelle. Annabelle finished first, Chase second. Those two stand up. There's Chase. There you go. Yeah, there's Annabelle. And the Bible Bowl team, if you haven't seen the Bible Bowl competition the last two or three meetings, you're missing out. It is intense, nerve-wracking. I don't know for the contestants, but for the ones watching, because, you know, you want our group to win. It's very competitive, and it's fun. Yesterday, it was Tiffany. Go ahead, Tiffany, stand up. Mallory, Carly, and Corey was the Bible Bowl, and they won. So give them a round of applause. And not going to forget the choir that sung yesterday. If you missed it, you missed it. Look on Facebook. You'll see, I don't know, 15, 17, 20 little kids. They put on a good show yesterday, so I'm proud of them as well. Miss Lynn's ready, I believe. So thank y'all.
Thank you, Pastor. I will make one more quick announcement again, as I did last week. There's an insert in the bulletin there. That's from the Cartwright men. Just asking for anyone there that may have any need of any kind there, if you would fill that out and place that in the offering plate this morning, we would greatly appreciate that. And look to help in any way that we can. Any other announcements this morning? Scott? I did.
7 o'clock. All you men, I guess we can, I know that Sarah's telling me the bus had a little difficulty yesterday. I don't know if we can take the bus back.
Hey, go for it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay.
And as many say, we are doing this, but I got right. This doesn't have to be necessary for somebody that goes out
Thank you, Scott. And for those who may not have heard, he was mentioning the Cartwright Men's Fellowship at Philadelphia tomorrow night at 7. Was there a group meeting here going? Okay. All right. Right. Okay. All right. Any other announcements this morning? If not, let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are thankful and grateful again for life, for our opportunities, for our abilities, everything you've blessed us with, Lord. We thank you for it. We thank you again for this place that we have to come and gather together and to worship. And I pray now, Lord, that you would prepare our hearts and our minds for this time together, this time of worship this morning, that all we say and do would bring you honor and glory, that you would use what is said and done, Lord, to speak to our hearts and draw us closer to you, that as we leave, we will be better servants for you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, boys and girls, Miss Lynn and Betsy. After that, certainly we can say, truly, this is the day the Lord has made, and we're rejoicing and glad in it. Beginning our worship service, let us join together in the call to worship. We have come into his house, followed by hymn number 2. Come thou fount of every blessing. Let us stand together. We have come into his house and gathered in his name. Joining together, let us sing.
Right.
Come, thou fount of every blessing, let us join together in singing. Again, while you're standing, greet those around you and wishing them God's blessing today.
One of the truly great assurances that we have in the scripture about prayer is simply this, is that the prayer of the righteous availeth much, or it's powerful and effective. And so when we gather together, it's not just words we speak, but when we're truly in a spirit of prayer, it really is both powerful and effective. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you this morning and we recognize that so often we let you down. We just don't live out our faith the way that we know that we should. And yet, Lord, we do this in spite of the fact that you never let us down. You're always true. You're always right. And, Lord, you always come through for us. So, Lord, we praise you today, and we want to worship you because we believe that through our worship that you will draw us closer to you and that you'll allow us to keep our eyes more focused upon you because you are indeed the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, we need you desperately, and that really is what worship is about, that we just come and place our lives before you and allow you to work in us. And we do pray, Lord, for those this morning that need strength. They need the strength and the power to keep moving forward for you. Lord, life has them discouraged and down, and yet, Lord, we know that the promise of your word is simply that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. So, Lord, we pray that promise for them this morning that need your strength. We pray for those that need hope, that they, again, they've been beat down and just things just seem so out of control to them and so hopeless. And yet, Lord, we know that so long as you are God and you are always God, that there is always hope. And so we pray that in the midst of their despair that you would come through your Holy Spirit in this moment, Lord, and just, Lord, encourage them and help them to simply persevere. For those whose faith is weakened and short, Lord, we pray that it would be strengthened today. That, Lord, that even though sometimes life gets scary, if we'll just keep the focus and our faith upon you, you'd never disappoint. And Lord, we pray for those this morning that need you, those that are lost, those that, Lord, are going to spend an eternity separated from you, Lord, if they don't repent. Lord, we pray that you would speak to them. May your church rise up. You said it was to the Father's glory that we bear much fruit, and we know that part of the fruit that we are to bear is simply to place the cross before those that need you. And so we pray that your church, especially in our land, your church would rise up and begin to proclaim the message of salvation and truth, because so many need you. Again, Lord, we thank you for just the privilege of gathering ourselves together and being able to uplift our concerns, our needs, our thoughts to you, knowing again, Lord, that you're going to do immeasurably more than we ever ask. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
At this time, the Lane children are coming for Sherry Special. Allison, Annabelle, and I believe little Jonathan's going to help this morning as well. Children, come and share at this time, if you would, please.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He's so good to me. I love him so. I love him so. I love him so. He's so good to me. I praise his name. I praise his name.
Thank you for that special. Ushers, if you would please come forward to receive our tithes and offerings. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we again thank you for your many blessings to us. We understand that everything that we have is a gift from you. And I pray, Lord, that we would understand that it all belongs to you. And as we give this portion back, we just ask that you would take it and use it for your honor, for your glory, and that you would help us to do so with a joyful heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
During the singing of this next hymn, we'll dismiss our children and children's church workers to their place of worship for the remaining service. Following the singing of hymn number 196, right before the pastor comes and shares the message, Erica Floyd and Kimberly Robinson will be coming and sharing a special selection for your spiritual blessing. Number 196, Come Thou Fountain, let us stand together as we sing it together. There is a fountain filled with blood, joining together and singing. And all of God's people said, amen. In church, you may be seated. Ladies, come and share your testimony and song at this time.
Thank you. should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart. Have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom. His wounds have paid my ransom.
When it comes to stories, who doesn't like one of those rags to riches sort of stories, where a seemingly nobody out of nowhere becomes a somebody and somehow makes a huge difference? In fact, sometimes those stories often sound too good to be true. We think of those stories as only possible in Hollywood. You know, when a refugee or maybe an orphan would rise to the top and then actually make a difference. In this story we're going to look at this morning, there's a young woman, and she's forced to leave her homeland because it has been ravaged by war. She was apparently raised by her uncle, maybe because her parents died in the war. We really don't know because the details are pretty sketchy, at least from that aspect. But she has a rise to fame that really no one would have guessed. Now, the leader of the country in which she lived in, the king, well, he was looking for a replacement queen. Now, the previous queen made him mad, and she was out. And so one of the king's advisors simply came up with what he considered a good idea, and the king embraced it. He said, look, here's what we'll do. We'll get all the beautiful young women of the kingdom, and we'll give them all the luxurious treatment that we possibly can, and then we'll parade them in front of you, and you pick which one you want. And I know that is both sexist and unfair, no doubt about it. But I also know that sometimes even in the bad circumstances that are out there, God can work good results. And amazingly, this refugee, orphan girl, was selected to be part of the group that would receive the luxurious treatment. Amazingly, she caught the king's eye, and she was chosen to become queen. Now, that's not too shabby. I mean, that is rags to riches. from nothing to nearly everything because she was the queen of the Persian Empire. I mean, that is a powerful story, but it's just the beginning of the story. If it ended there, that would be good enough, but there's much more. You see, a good story has to have sudden twists and turns nobody sees coming, right? It also has to have a villain, a bad guy in the story, and the story of Esther has both. The bad guy is named Haman. And Haman hates Esther's uncle. In fact, he hated Mordecai, her uncle, so much that he not only wanted to kill Mordecai, but he devised a plan in which he would be able to kill all Jews because Mordecai was a Jew. And to make things even worse, this bad guy, well, he had the king's ear. And amazingly, he concocted a plan and he got the king to sign off on it. And the plan was simply this: on a specific day in the future, it would be free game. Kill all the Jews that you want. Take their stuff. It's yours. Just kill the Jews. And the truth is, there's a lot of different sudden twists to the story. One of those twists is nobody knows. Well, first of all, nobody knows Esther's a Jew. And nobody knows that Mordecai is really Uncle Morty to her. Okay? They don't know it. But they do. And so Uncle Mordecai finds out what Haman has devised and that the king has signed out on it. And so he very naturally, rashly, he sends word to his niece and says, look, Esther, you got to get to the king and call this off. That seems rational enough to me. Why not? She's queen, right? But the problem is, remember, by the way, she's already a replacement queen. All right? She's already a replacement queen. But the problem is nobody gets to approach the king, not even the queen, unless they have been summoned before the king. And then if they do approach and have not been summoned, if the king doesn't raise his staff, they're killed on the spot. Now Esther knows all of this. And in fact, she tells her uncle, look, you know, nobody gets to just pop in on the king uninvited. It just doesn't work that way. Well, our text is really Uncle Morty's response to Esther, his niece. And we're going to read from the fourth chapter of Esther, verse 12 through 17. And for those that would like to stand for the reading of the word, please do so. When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer: do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to royal position for such a time as this. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai: go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night and day. And I and my maids will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. And so Mordecai went away and carried out all of Esther's instructions. You may be seated. I find the book of Esther a very interesting read. I mean, think about this. The name of God does not appear not even one time in the storyline of the book of Esther. Not once. Now, for those that have eyes of faith, surely God's signature, God's presence are certainly undeniable, but the name of God doesn't appear. But what we find is that over and over, God was at work. See, was it luck that just so happened that Esther was chosen to be part of the group that was going to get before the king? Well, it's not in my book, by the way. I don't believe in luck. I believe in the sovereign will of God. Was it simply luck that brought Esther to be chosen to find favor in the eyes of the king? Again, not in my book. Part of God's plan. But what if Esther had chosen not to act? I mean, in Uncle Mordecai's opinion, he believed that God would raise up someone else to deliver them, but her and her family, he said, would perish. It's also quite possible that a bunch of other innocent Jewish people would have died in the process as well. But what we know for sure would have happened, Esther would have missed her moment, her defining moment that God had a plan and a purpose for her life. Now, Esther, of course, if you read the book, pulled it off. And Haman's evil plan backfired upon him, and he got his just reward. But don't you just have to love the words of verse 14? Who knows that you have not come to this royal position for such a time as this? And we say, of course, Mordecai. Of course she was in that position for such a time as this. It was part of God's plan. Now, Esther, of course, had the opportunity, an opportunity to make a difference. And in fact, of course, we know, I think, the fact that it's in the Bible, I think, tells us that she indeed fulfilled God's plan and purpose for her life. So we know the answer. Yes, she was in that position for such a time. One of the neat things about God to me is that God has a plan and a purpose for all of us. You may not become queen of Persia, but God has a plan for you. And we are right here, right now, for such a time as this. We are here not by accident, but by God's design and purpose. And God gives us the opportunity right here, right now, to make a difference if we are willing to step out and live our lives in faithfulness to Him. If we will not compromise, if we'll keep our eyes on Jesus, if we'll follow Jesus, a difference is always made. The Westminster Catechism, by the way, says that the chief end of humanity is to glorify God and to enjoy God forever. And that's biblical, by the way. Paul just put it this way. He said, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. See, Esther glorified God by putting her life on the line to save others. And by the way, is that not the calling of every single Christian today, to put our lives on the line in order to try and save others? Jesus glorified God by giving His life for others. And we glorify God by simply bearing fruit, or at least that's what, well, somebody by the name of Jesus said so. He said, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Now, Esther's fruit's easy to see. There are thousands of lives that were spared from genocide. People she didn't know personally, but people that depended upon her in order to be faithful in her calling. Well, people are lost and without God, and they need Him so desperately in their lives. They're without hope, and they're trying to figure out their way. Some of these people, we know them by their first name. Many of them we do not. But people are depending on us to be faithful to God's calling. And if we are faithful, then God will begin to open the doors of opportunity for us as well. And it's not just something that preachers do or missionaries do or people in the Bible. It's something we all do. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. Jesus said, that's how you show, that's how you prove you're one of my disciples. So, of course, we are here today at this place, in this moment in God's history, for such a time as this. What we do, what we choose not to do, will make a huge difference not only now, but it will make a huge difference for all eternity. And I do not believe that we've gone through all the stuff that we've gone through this last year for nothing. I believe that in the midst of it all, as we've tried to remain faithful and true to God, that God has blessed us in ways, in fantastic ways. But I also believe that as we come together united around Christ, think about how we've been blessed amidst everything that's been going on, and yet when we come together and rally around Jesus, think of how much greater God is going to use us for such a time as this. And I don't believe that we're quite there yet. I believe we've still got further to go. I believe there's lost people still to reach. I believe that God wants to use us for whatever the reason He's chosen us to truly be a dynamic church in this community. And churches are watching, by the way. Others in our community are looking in, by the way, to see what's going on. And the truth is, I believe that there's many in this world that are depending right now. They're depending on us to be faithful. See, to be a Christian is to be a witness, and there is no escaping that. We must live out our faith in such a way that others see Christ in us. And really, that's what a lot of people say. Well, my life is my witness. I think sometimes they just say that because they don't really want to talk to people about Jesus, you know. And the truth is, your life is a great witness, but if you're living your life the way you're supposed to be living your life, there's going to be people that's going to be coming up to you and say, what on earth are you doing, or why are you living that way? You can't follow Jesus and not pique the interest of others, all right? But when we live out our faith, it makes a powerful difference. One of the things that we did in Bible college was every class started with prayer. And we'd have usually a time of prayer requests, you know, just like we often do on Wednesday nights and things here. And one particular class session, a pastor friend of ours shared that he had a lady in his church he requested prayer for. They had found a large mass in her, and the doctors had all but assured her that when they went and did the biopsy, they'd probably have to go on and do a radical surgery because in all probability that mass was going to be cancer. He said, we needed to pray not only for her, but her children, because her children were not Christians, he said. And they were really, really struggling with everything that was going on. And of course they would, by the way. Why wouldn't they? And so a week goes by and he comes back to class and he shared this testimony. He said, you know, I got there and I did my preacher thing, what preachers are supposed to do. I read a little scripture and I prayed, you know. And he said, but the truth is, you know, she was at peace with it, he said, all along. He said, amazingly, but you could just tell. He said, the children were really, really hurting. He said, they were just on the emotional edge. And just before they came to wheel out their mother, he said, she looked him in the eye and says, and I quote, it doesn't matter if this tumor inside of me turns out to be cancer or not. Either way, my faith is in Jesus, and my faith is in who he is, and it cannot be shaken by what happens to me. Oh, wow. That's living it, folks. That's putting it beyond, I love Jesus sort of thing on Sunday morning. That's laying flat on your back, figuring your own mortality is laying right there before you and saying, you know what, it doesn't matter to me. Either way this thing works out, I give glory to Jesus Christ. Now that is truly living out our faith. By the way, the praise is simply as the tumor was benign and she served faithfully in her church for years. People need the Lord. And they, and whether they know it or not, they are depending upon us. So of course we're here for such a time as this. We're here to tell people about Jesus. We're here to tell them that as they give their lives to Jesus, that a radical transformation takes place to the point that Jesus said, you will be born again. And as we follow God's plan for our lives and for our church, even though it may be scary at times, it is always gratifying. Because God has put us here for such a time as this. Regardless of where here is, his church is where he wants them to be. There are great challenges before us. But you know what? God can work out the details in our lives and in our church just the way he worked out the details of the story of Esther. She changed history because she embraced God's calling in her life. By the way, I believe that truly is the definition of greatness, simply embracing God's calling on your life. No, you may not be as popular as Billy Graham. Certainly the greats of faith include people like Billy Graham and Mother Teresa. Might include people like Esther and Paul. It also includes names like Hazel Payne. Hazel Payne taught Sunday school in the church I grew up in. You don't know her, and you have no reason to know her. But I can tell you that she loved Jesus, and she loved to tell other people about Jesus. And she faithfully, Sunday in, Sunday out, taught her class about Jesus. See, I believe she was there for that purpose. And so, yes, I believe even amongst the names of Peter and Paul, I believe so goes the name of Hazel Payne. For Esther, it was rags to riches, refugee to queen. And God did some pretty amazing things as she simply followed him. So again, of course, we're here for such a time as this. There's no question about that. And our greatness as a church is not simply to copy what any other church is doing. It's simply to be faithful to what God wants us as His church here in Turbyville to be doing in 2015. It does not matter what we have done or what the church has done or not done before this moment. What matters is what we do is from this moment forward and how we live out God's purpose for us. And if we'll do that, then we can be named amongst the greats of faith. And so Esther had to make a decision, didn't she? Whether she was going to do the right thing or not. Even though she might die, she had to decide, is it really worth it? She said, if I die, I die, you know. If I perish, I perish, she said. She had to make the choice that it was more important to follow Jesus than to simply continue to live. And that decision confronts us all right here and right now. Is it worth anything to not follow Jesus? Are we going to embrace His calling and His future? Not our future, but His future. And are we as individuals going to step up and go all in for Him so that we become a part of what God is doing? Because when we do, when we understand that God is placing our lives in certain places and understand that He wants to use us to touch others. When we get to that point, lives are changed. The future is different. And there's a party in heaven. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for the beauty and the power of the story of Esther, but more importantly, we thank You that You are a God that, regardless of who we are, has a specific plan for our lives. The truth is, if we don't keep our eyes on You, we will not choose You first. We'll choose other things ahead of You. So, Lord, I simply pray that in this moment that we each commit to keeping our eyes upon You. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand as we sing.
Yes, Esther said, if I perish, I perish. Our song 351, invitational number, inviting those who would like to come to this altar to pray for whatever may be the concern in your life, maybe a closer walk, maybe a heavy heart for something, maybe a great decision or a trial. Notice the words say, dying with Jesus, by death reconciled, living with Jesus, a new life divine. May that be our prayer today. Hymn number 351. You come to the altar as God leads. If you need Christ as Savior, by all means, don't pass this opportunity away.
It's exciting to be a part of God's plan. You're part of it. Isn't that amazing that God wants to use you to make an eternal difference? Remember, those of you that are being baptized this afternoon, we'll meet in the chapel right behind the sanctuary here in the classroom for just a few minutes. May God's grace bring us back together this afternoon in celebration, not only of Jesus, but in His calling upon our lives.
Make me a blessing, make me a blessing, joining together in singing. And all of God's people said, amen. Leave from here being a blessing to someone else. You are dismissed.